Okay, hello everyone. We're going to get this meeting started today. I want to welcome everyone here today. It's the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Brand Audit Workshop. I want to welcome Carl Roboto, which we'll bring up here in a moment. It is 9:04 for the record. I want to let everybody know we will go to public comment period right now. Anybody can make any public comments, but I do want to note at the end, after Carl has spoken, we will have a public questions and answers period. So what you can do throughout the presentation is write your questions down on a piece of paper. Then what will happen is when we come to the public questions and answers period, you'll come up, you'll ask your question here on the mic, and then Carl will come up and answer that question on the mic, and then we'll go back. So then that way everything's recorded live on TV, and it's all recorded for our minutes, and everybody out on the TV world can see us. So I'm going to be pretty brief. Just thank you for coming, and everybody out there, hopefully everybody's watching. I think this is very exciting for us to get an independent study done by Carl, and I'm anxious to see his results. They're new to all of us. I haven't got to see them yet. So I'm going to go ahead and open up for public comment. If anybody would like to speak for public comment, please come up. Okay, Jane. Please state your name and right here to me. You come here.
Actually, my public comment is not to the public, but it's to the audience. So please turn off your cell phones. Thank you. Jane Beeman, Morro Bay.
Any further comments? Johnny's coming up.
Johnny Biagini, and I just wanted to remind everybody this weekend is the 32nd Morro Bay Harbor Festival. And we've got a whole new layout and some great entertainment, and we encourage you and all of the public to come. This is Morro Bay's signature event, showcasing this great community, the fishing community, as well as the working harbor and all that we have to offer. So we hope you'll come out and see the new design and the new format, and tickets are still available. Advance to purchase tickets are still available at Albertsons here in Morro Bay, or of course at the gate, $10 for adults, $5 for children. So hope to see you there. Thanks.
Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and welcome Christine Johnson. She will come up. She's our liaison with the city. And thank you, Christine, for always being at our meetings and keeping us all together. We're a partner with the city, so it's important. So she'll go ahead and have a few words.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, everyone. As Michelle said, I'm Christine Johnson, member of the Morro... No, thanks. Member of the Morro Bay City Council. In addition, I serve as the City Council liaison to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau and to our Tourism Business Improvement District, or TBID, Board. So first this morning, I'd like to thank the TBID and Tourism Bureau Board members and the Director of Tourism, Karen Moss, for the invitation to offer brief remarks on behalf of the city today. First, I'd like to compliment the Tourism Bureau Board and staff for extending an invitation to the entire Morro Bay community to attend today's Morro Bay Brand Audit. In addition, this workshop is running live on Channel 20 and will be available on video replay online at agpvideo.com. Holding this brand audit in a very public setting is positive for many reasons, but the number one reason to invite the public in the conversation is budgetary. A quick look at the tourism marketing budget for Morro Bay reveals that all Morro Bay residents are also stakeholders of the Tourism Bureau, along with the hoteliers. About 25% of the marketing budget comes from the city's general fund, and this year the amount is plus or minus $115,000. This includes the operation for the visitor center, as well as funds to be used toward regional marketing. The city of Morro Bay, as well as this current city council, is supportive and has been very invested over the years in tourism marketing.
And Moss, your Morro Bay Director of Tourism, I'd like to welcome you to our marketing brand audit. It is the ongoing mission of the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau to promote and increase tourism in the city of Morro Bay by improving and strengthening the condition of the tourism business environment. When marketing experts talk about the theater of the mind, they are saying that it's essential to know what readily comes to mind when people think about your brand. We need to know what our potential and returning customers think about Morro Bay. What is the nature of our customers? What are their needs and how can we satisfy them? What do our customers value and how do we best provide that value? Who are our competitors? How effective are we in the planning process? And to that end, we've recruited Carl Roboto, a well-respected thought leader and innovator in the tourism industry, who has introduced such concepts as the use of business modeling to focus bureau-based performance, the introduction of passion-based marketing strategies, and the concept of destination authenticity. Carl has served clients ranging from ski resorts to casinos, from lodging properties to visitors bureaus, from advertising agencies to retail stores. In each case, he designed strategies to help develop competitive advantage and to deliver the client's marketing strategies and message with maximum impact. Carl has served as an adjunct faculty member at Sierra Nevada College in Lake Tahoe, where he taught courses in marketing and advertising. He has also taught a seminar on tourism marketing at the University of Nevada, Reno, and has written white papers on subjects to include marketing strategies for mature destinations, company branding, game theory and your marketing efforts, and using a business model for your destination. We're very pleased to have Carl join us here today to share his insights and recommendations for our continuing marketing success. Please join me in welcoming Carl Roboto.
Thank you all. That was some very, very kind comments. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I see some old friends in the audience. Good to see you all. Before I get going, who owns that tan Volkswagen out there? It's spectacular. It really is spectacular. As a former 67 Bug owner, I tip my hat. You've done a wonderful job in restoration there. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I feel like I'm sort of a part of San Luis Obispo County. I get a chance to come back here quite frequently. It gives me a chance to sort of stay up on some of the issues, both good and bad, challenges and successes. And when I got a call to sort of take a look at what Morro Bay Tourism was doing, of course, you know, I wanted to be helpful, and that's what a lot of what our company does. We work all across the country and helping DMOs in a lot of different ways. You know, just in the last few weeks, I've been to Aspen, I've been to Oceanside, I've been to L.A., I'm off to Virginia in 2 weeks, and you get a chance to see sort of the good, the bad, and the better in a lot of these efforts. And so I am pleased to be here. To give this a little bit of a setup, I started taking a look at this in July. So some of what you see, you may have already started moving on, and I think that's positive. Secondly, I think it's important. I'm not here. I don't point fingers. I could probably, if you want to get into that, we could probably point fingers all the way around about what could this be better, what could that be better, but I'm a move forward kind of guy. I think it's critical you understand the competitors, that the enemy's not in the room. The enemy's out there. The challenges are out there. The Santa Barbara County, Monterey County, all these other places, tourism has become a vicious and competitive economic development strategy. Back in the day, there were a few places that played in the tourism game. Since the recession, every economic development department in this state has figured out that tourism is part of their economic development portfolio. I don't care if you're talking about San Diego or relatively obscure Modoc or Siskiyou County in far northern California. This has become a very competitive game, and you really have to be at the top of your game to be effective and competitive. And Morro Bay, as a niche player, can be competitive. You have some very strong value options. You have some very strong, unique selling points. You know, I got to hear those seals last night. I mean, they were like swimming outside my window. But you have a lot of good things. But you have to be competitive, and you have to make sure all the dominoes are lined up. And that means your marketing processes. That means looked at a little bit of Morro Bay lodging data. And then I did make some calls throughout the county, some of my contacts, and said, you know, what do you think? What do you see? You know, I'm just trying to gather some information. And again, that was more anecdotal than sort of systematic. But I did want some other perspectives on all of this. The purpose of this is not punitive, okay? It is, in fact, constructive. The point is to move forward and to build on what you've done and to become more successful. So this is not a punitive exercise designed to say, well, you did this wrong, or this group did that wrong, or that person did this, or whatever. That's not the purpose of these audits. These audits are to, how do we get better? Yeah, we may have not done some things as effectively in the past as we could, but how do we build on what we have started, and how do we get better on behalf of the community? So I hope you take that take the information in the context I'm giving you. It's continuous improvement. That's the key. Every destination, every organization, whether it's city, whether it's county, whether it's NGO, whether it's private sector, everyone should be looking for continuous improvement. How do we continually improve whatever we do? I don't care if you're a restaurant or you're selling taffy or whatever it is, you always look for continuous improvement. And that's sort of the benchmark. Are we doing it better tomorrow? Are we doing it better today than we did last year? And how do we do it better next year than we did this year? And I really, if you can leave with one thing in your mind, that's the concept that you want to bring and apply, not just to tourism, but everywhere throughout your community. Are we continuously improving? And if you're continuously improving, you're moving in the right direction. And if you're not, that's okay. You stop, you reassess, and you recalibrate, and you move forward. But continuous improvement is absolutely critical. In looking at the website, a new one was launched in June of 2012. It's a leaner site with approximately 60 fewer pages. Since the site was launched, it had seen noticeable decline in overall visits, referrals, and page views. Referrals to the lodging website, part of the website dropped about, I got a new doohickey, so I'm learning the buttons. Referrals had dropped significantly. And I know a lot of DMOs set up their measurement by saying, how many people are we driving to lodging properties? That's one small way to measure. It's not the only way to measure. And there are better measurement systems. I like to actually look at what the Bureau or the DMO actually influences to visit. Are we influencing people to come here instead of going to another destination? That's really, you know, what's key. And I'll explain that a little further in my summary or back at the end of this presentation, but keep that in mind. The key is that website is the most important tool of influence. When you get people through advertising to get to that site, that's your moment. You've got a very short window to get them excited to visit, or I'm bailing out and you look boring and uninteresting and I'm going somewhere else. And so that is key. When we look at, pardon me?
What is SEO?
Search engine optimization. When we look at some of the data, and again, this is through June, so some of this may have changed. This is the last data look we got. You can see there's a lot of negative numbers there, not moving in the right direction. This is the number I like to look at for DMOs. How many new people are you driving to that site? How effective is advertising in growing that number? Because we do know a certain portion of those numbers will book, will actually convert to bookings. We don't know what that conversion number is here, but in other destinations, they do know what that conversion number is, and the key is to drive those visitations of the target market. You can drive 1 million people, but you want to drive the right people to your website. Okay, so this is sort of an indicator of, are we moving in the right direction, wrong direction? Do we need reassessment? Well, this would tell me what's going on. We need to look at reassessment in terms of what is going on. Our recommendations were to hire an SEO firm that can provide a variety of services that I think are critical to what you need, including keyword search, site audit recommendation, and the development of a 12-month SEO strategy. This is key. SEO is absolutely key. You have to get up those rankings to be effective, to get more people to that website. In terms of content, you want to look at a blog for the site that is continually freshening content. And I'll talk about content in a few minutes because I think that's one area that I'd like to see buffed up significantly, is increased content about all the fun things that are going on here. You can never have enough content, whether it's video, photo, have descriptions, some don't. Content is absolutely key. A usability study to assess what people are using on that website. You know, are the pictures effective? What are the routes they're traveling through their website? Can you develop a predictive model of, once people hit our site and go to these three places, they tend to book? You know, there's a lot of sophistication you can bring to those that analysis. In terms of images and video, daily photographs. I mean, I was up taking pictures of the seals this morning, first thing. Last night I posted pictures on my Facebook thing, and all my friends are like, "Oh, you're in Morro Bay, I know." that can be happening a lot with your own staff as well as visitors. It's happening, but certainly with your own staff every day. Allocate some budget for video production. Video is absolutely becoming more and more important. People today value less advertising and value more what they see from other people and other ways of doing it. That's why TripAdvisor has become so critical, is because people really, they pay more attention to that sort of stuff. And so the more general information, non-biased, hey, check it out, here's what we got going, you got the festival this weekend, everybody get your iPhone out and start posting up. You know, everybody's in charge of doing that. You don't need just to be the staff. Everybody, you got your own Facebook pages, many of you. Time to get in the game in terms of posting up. So I think allocating more budget for those kinds of activities. And you can script out these videos. What are the core segments we want to attract? You know, we want to attract people who are here for wine, or we want to attract people here for sightseeing, or we want golf, or whatever those segments are. I think it's critical that you begin to script those stories for people through the website and through the blog and so on and so forth. Okay, the marketing plan. We reviewed the plan, the document for the plan, and found it to include the following. There's an approach, promotional activities, visitor services, professional affiliations, marketing team, contractors, and media. And then under the media, there were categories corresponding to specific budget allocations. And I'm sure you've all seen the plan. I think that's good, but to me, it's just a start. I think you can work to a much more comprehensive approach over time, and I think that's really where you need to go. You know, a lot of times people think it's the document. It's not the document. It's the thinking that goes into the document that is of the value. Okay. At the end, I have done more tourism marketing plans in the state of California than I think anybody. And I'm not trying to brag, I'm not bragging about it, but I've just been through the process so many times. And the real value comes in the creation of the plan and getting the input and what about this and what about that, and sort of working through the things that you want to do. That's the value. The thinking that goes into the plan is often of more value than the plan itself. That's just a tangible output of the thinking that you go through to create the plan. So I want you to consider that as you move forward and build on what you have. Take what you have. That's a starting point. Okay? That's fine, but let's see where we can build on that in the future. When we look at the marketing team, there's a couple of ways you can do this. This is what we call the ad agency approach. You can hire one ad agency, And that ad agency will sort of be in charge of all these other little segments within it. They'll be in charge of website. They'll have somebody for PR. They'll have somebody for SEO. They'll have somebody for all these different. And that's a fine approach. Okay, it's easier to manage, and it's easier to hold one firm accountable. The ad agency may not have strong skills in every single discipline. And that's really where I think some opportunity arises. And again, sometimes it's just a sense of different style that organizations want to use. I've seen this approach used by a number of different organizations. The alternative is to develop the team approach, a little bit more of a team approach, where you have Morro Bay Tourism, but you have Vendor 1, Vendor 2, Vendor 3, Vendor 4 that are very much experts in their field. Hiring just a PR expert, hiring a advertising expert, hiring an SEO expert, hiring best of class in each of these categories. Okay, it's a little more complicated to manage, but if you have a strong marketing plan with clear goals, it sort of is an invisible hand that keeps everybody moving in the same direction, and you have a periodic review of, okay, are we doing what we said we were going to do? Were we successful? What changes do we need to make as a team? The addition is you bring these different people together, and they have ideas to the table. So this is probably one way to do it. In terms of recommendations on the marketing plan, we are recommending a more comprehensive plan be developed. And I'll go through that in just a second. We think that should be done by staff or an outside contractor, whoever you want to have do it is fine. But we think the approach has to be more robust because it will force you to think better and more about what your marketing efforts are. Here's just some of the plan elements that we like to have destinations look at. A thorough situation analysis of what's going on, what are the trends, lodging, ADR, RevPAR, economic trends that are going on within the community, social trends, and a lot of this information is available out there. What is the tourism and product experience here? You really have to sit down and say, what is the experience here? You may know it intuitively because you live here, but I challenge you to put it on paper. It's a lot harder than you think to, oh, well, we have this. Well, wait a minute. Those are things. What is the experience? And it really challenges you to think hard about what you are, in essence, selling from an experiential standpoint. I can go up and down this coast, and everybody has a lot of stuff. Okay? They all have an event. They all have a brochure. They all have a website. They all have stuff. Okay, but what is the experience? What is the Morro Bay experience? What should I was here, I'm here less than 24 hours. What should I have experienced in that 24 hours that says, God, I got to come back? Okay, so it challenges you all to get outside your box and think about what that visitor wants to experience, or you want that visitor to experience. A strengths, weakness, opportunities analysis. And I really encourage destinations to be brutally honest. What are your real strengths? Okay? What are your weaknesses? And be honest. It's okay. Nobody's going to, you know, you're working together to get better at things, you know? It's what are our true weaknesses? And then what are the threats? Okay? Well, we have a national economy. I mean, who knows? We're one vote away from disaster at the federal level today. I don't know. I mean, you know, what are our, you know, national parks are closing, not so much here, but national parks are closing where I live and in the Sierra. Who knows what are those threats that could impact your tourism? And then finally, on that, what are the opportunities? I like destinations to be opportunity focused. What are the top three tourism opportunities this destination has right now that you should put your big efforts into? And if you can come to that in a collective way and everybody be on the same page, you can certainly work to, you know, achieve those opportunities. And that's where I think the best future lies, is always look for opportunities. you know, threats and weaknesses you can deal with, but I'd rather if you said I've got 10% of my time to deal with opportunities or 10% of my time to deal with weaknesses, I'd rather see you spend a little more time on the opportunities than on the weaknesses. You need to be aware of weaknesses. You need to be compensate for weaknesses, but you have to be focused on what those opportunities are and what are the opportunities here. You know, if I were to go around this room, would I get a unified sort of top three, or would I, you know, have things scattered all over the place? Okay. Goals. And I forgot objectives, but that's goals and objectives. You got to write them down. Okay. You got to commit them to paper. You know, there's broad goals, and then there's objectives. The goals I like are numerical. I like to see every DMO generate twice the number of unique visitors to their site over 5 years. Okay? If you're doing that, you're doing something positive. You're moving the needle. So whatever your annual user visitor, you know, independent or individual user sessions are, if you can double it in 5 years, then you're moving the needle. And I think and that forces everyone to drive that website and so forth. But you write it down. Doesn't mean you're going to get there right away. But it really helps guide your efforts. I really encourage all my clients to get in that direction. Yes. No question. No, a lot of this is the thinking. That's adaptable. Whether you own a hardware store, you can think of use this sort of format. You might not use it all, but pieces of this thinking process, as well as being a destination. Okay, target segments. Who are the targets? Define things down. When you write them down, it's very very motivating. Strategic alliances. Okay, very critical. Nobody can do it alone anymore, and nobody has enough budget alone. You know, Santa Barbara, who's a client of mine, they have a huge budget. They got strategic partners everywhere, okay, because they recognize they have to leverage their money. Everybody has to leverage their money. The city's investment in tourism is leveraged dollars. You put in 125 or 15 or whatever it was, those dollars are leveraged against what the business community is doing. How do you now cooperatively leverage those dollars, whether it's with the county bureau, whether it's special events or whatever it is that are regional? How do we redefine partners? How do we look at leveraging dollars? I think is absolutely critical. Measurement, and this is very key. I get more phone calls from DMOs on this issue alone. What are we measuring? Okay, and there's a lot of confusion over what DMOs measure. So you got to be really clear about what you measure, and you got to be upfront about what you're going to measure, and get everyone to buy in and nod their head and say, "Yeah, that's how we're going to evaluate it." Evaluate the program. We are going to look at new users to the website. We are going to look at time on site. We are going to look at advertising awareness. You know, every 3 or 4 years, we're going to do a study that tracks ad awareness in our key markets. Whatever those are, you got to figure out what you're going to measure. Okay? Too often, the measurement is done after the fact. People are like, I can't tell you how many calls I get in May and June, you know, before somebody's got to go in front of a city council or county supervisors, you know, say, "Hey, I need you to help me. I got to make a presentation to the city council." And, you know, I'm like, "Oh, it's too late. I can't help you now. I had to help you back when the budget was being formed," you know. But really think about what measurement is. And clearly identify measurement components to the goals and objectives. You know, at the end of the day, those things got to be linked. So this is a more robust approach. Again, I think you got a good start, but I think this is build on. This is where you want to get to. And so I think you guys can do that. And I think it's an effective, a more effective planning process for everyone involved. We also think it's important to integrate research wherever you find it. You've got to bring the research back and integrate it into what you were doing. You know, we just did a study last year for the county bureau, and you guys were a part of that, you have some research, integrate that. Make sure everyone's sharing it. Make sure the lodging industry's gotten it. If you come across research that's of interest, the state of California pumps out reams of research. You want to make sure that that's being shared and people are discussing it. Always integrate it into what you are doing. With regard to subcontractors, manage them in a way that you get the best work out of them. You know, what I like to do is say to a vendor, Mr. or Mrs. Ad Agency, here's the box we want you to work in. Now do as great a job in that box as you can. I don't want to get down to telling you what shade of blue the ad is or the sky is, but I want you to show me the best ad you can show me. And maybe three versions of it so I can pick and choose and see and have other people have input, you know. But manage vendors in a way that you challenge them to give you their best ideas, okay? Don't just sign a contract and say, we're gin. It's, hey, what's new? Tell me something new you're learning that we can implement. What have you seen? What are you doing? What are your account executives yakking about in the office that we need to know about? Manage vendors in a way that they become productive workhorses for you. And they'll appreciate that. They like clients that push them. They appreciate clients that are like asking questions and want to get better. Trust me on that. Branding and advertising. We conducted research in three markets, Los Angeles, the Central Valley, and San Francisco Bay Area last fall, and one of the things we looked at, and this could be a benchmark for you guys. Excuse me. Here's the results. Morro Bay has a slightly lower awareness level than San Simeon and Pismo Beach, and about the same as San Luis Obispo. You're in the mix, okay? You're in the mix in terms of advertising awareness. You're not at the top of the county, but you're in the mix. Pismo has done a very good job. Hearst Castle, by just the simple fact, okay? Literally cool. Like 10 degrees cooler. I was in San Miguel yesterday, and it was really warm up there, and here it was very, very nice. So you have a natural competitive advantage, and that opens the door when we talk about partnerships. What can you be partnering with Pismo on in that marketplace? Do you go at it alone, or do you maybe work with Pismo and say, hey, what if we jointly did something in that marketplace? What could we do? How could we leverage our dollars? Okay. In the other markets, as you might expect out of Southern California, San Luis Obispo sort of is king in terms of that. In the San Francisco Bay Area, also San Luis has a much higher stay rate. And again, that's probably tied to the university or some of the other things that it has and so forth. But again, you begin to see where you fit. And again, it's not that you're not competitive. You are. But you have some natural advantages that I think are opportunistic. You know, if you were to ask me what are one of the opportunities that you have, I'd sit back and say, well, how do we leverage more share out of the Central Valley? And how do we also look at attacking LA and San Francisco? Might be different tools we use, okay? It might be different approaches in each market, but clearly you have a sense of where you fit in the world. Visitation versus recall. This is kind of fascinating. There's a differential in awareness versus visit. And you guys are right here. You have an awareness level, an ad recall level at 25%, and you've got a visitation level of 17%. That's an 8-point spread. Okay, Pismo has a 7-point spread. San Luis Obispo actually really kills it. They have a little higher visitation than they do recall. So that tells me there's opportunity to close that gap for you guys, that making the awareness versus actual visitation, there's an opportunity there to close that gap as you guys move forward. And again, I think you have plenty to to offer to do that. This is the primary creative that you've been using for a while, Discoverer, the Destination Morro Bay. And again, you've used one variation or another. I just picked one. But the rock is prominently featured. Variations of the concept have been used in different places and so forth. And so that's sort of been your primary creative. In terms of recommendations, it's clear that the current branding and advertising efforts have had some positive effect. You know, your ad awareness is there. You're doing some good things there. Build on that. Where do we go from there? It appears the current advertising may have established Morro Bay Rock as an iconic message element. If you've done nothing more than establish that rock as an iconic piece, that's great. You know, you all know what Yosemite's iconic piece is, right? I come from an iconic destination with a lake. Many destinations would love to have an icon. Many. And they don't. Okay? You are one of the few in this county that has an icon like that that you can begin to build on. We think in the future creative efforts need to translate into more concrete reasons to visit the area. That the rock itself can always be in your advertising as the icon. But now how do we take that to what are those reasons? What is that experience I talked about? How does that translate into an advertising message that says I got to find out more and drives me to a website that influences me to say I'm coming? Okay, and so I think the opportunity is to take what you have, build on it, but begin to provide people some very concrete reasons, you know, why they may want to come here. You have a number of activities: sightseeing, shopping, dining, wine tasting, Hearst Castle. You are not limited by what's here, and don't think like that. You use the entire county as reasons to visit. You have a wine region. It's called Paso Robles, okay? You have a major attraction. It's called Hearst Castle. They don't have to be in your city limits for you to sell, okay, or to tell people. All you care about is where people sleep, okay? Add to that all the neat things you got going here in terms of activities and events and so forth, and you got a nice little package, you know, for people to enjoy. So, again, think creatively, but move on from the rock. Leverage that icon into future marketing approaches, and keep that familiarity, but give me a better reason to come. It's not just about the rock. I saw the rock yesterday. Was I supposed to go home after that? But it's a great icon for me to, oh, what's going on in Morro Bay? And you can have fun with it, create throwing things out, but you get the picture. It's not either or. It's different tools used different ways in different markets that allow you to sort of leverage your activities and leverage what you're doing. And again, that's the solution, is to match the right tools with the right marketplace. Okay? Media. I always like small destinations like this to be very micro-targeted in what they do. And when you do that, there's a couple ways you can do it. Karen mentioned passion marketing. Well, it sounds kind of pornographic, but it isn't. What we mean by passion marketing is, what are the passions of your local community? What do you as locals love to do? And finding people out there with the similar passions that you have. And think about that approach. It goes sort of counter to the traditional business school approach of go out there, do this market research, and then, you know, give people what they want. What we're really saying is, you guys have certain passions, whether it's diving, whether it's kayaking, whether it's hiking, whatever it is you guys do. And I'm sure you're a pretty active group. Well, you know what? There's other markets who want to do the same thing as you. Okay, stand-up paddling is huge in Lake Tahoe. I'm sure it's big here, but, you know, in the last year or two, it's like, wow, everybody's doing stand-up paddling. And you know what? There's a ton of locals that do it. One of the things that we love to do in Tahoe is these road bicycle guys. You know, we had the Amgen Tour in Lake Tahoe, and ever since then, you know. But the Amgen tour became because we had so many local residents that love riding these two-lane roads in the Sierras, and that was a local passion. And so the visitor authority said, hey, if these guys like to do it, why can't we find more people who like to do it? You know, same thing could be here. What are those local passions? What are those local, let's take the Central Valley, let's take the Bay Area, geographic target one. Let's say one of the things you guys love to do is road biking. You got road biking, you got great roads, you got all kinds of roads, you got Highway 1, which is one of the greatest roads in the country. Well, can't we develop a niche targeted approach to road bikers in Bay Area that say, hey, come and ride Highway 1, you know, or the Pozo Loop or whatever it is, but we have it, okay? And, oh, by the way, and so we'll use this media to reach them. They have a little website where all these people go to, and that's they chat. They got chat rooms. They got, you know, you can buy online ads. And I don't want to get into how you, all the advertising. You guys know how to do that. But also, like niche number two could be those folks that like fishing. Okay, well, you can get a hold of everybody who's got a fishing license in this state. And you can begin, you see how this niche approach begins to work, but build it off your local passions. If you build it off your local passions, you become a really authentic destination. And the more authentic you are, the less differentiating you have to do. We are who we are, and if you come here, you're going to love what we have. Okay? And here's what we do as locals. And so that's what I mean by looking at media differently. And again, there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat, and I'm not here to do that, but I want you to think about this passion-based sort of approach to developing target segments and the media that supports that. You can do that in the Central Valley. You can do it in the Bay Area. You can do it in L.A. I have ski industry clients. They do it really effectively. You know, we do a lot of advertising in Southern California, and we like know the five best places, boom, 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 to have our interactive media dialed in. We don't even use traditional media anymore. Okay, maybe one or two billboards in a few neighborhoods that are strategically placed, but most of it's interactive, reaching out to snowboarders, reaching out to skiers. You can do the same thing with the stuff you have here. Okay, moving on. Budget review. The overall budget that I saw was about $831,000. Of that, the visitor center and the bureau expenses account for just under 30%. That's good. Okay, I looked at a budget in Virginia, and that number was about 70%. Okay, a lot of money in overhead, not a lot going into marketing. It's a big challenge I got to deal with on the 29th of October. But you guys have a very favorable ratio in terms of that, so I want you to know that. The marketing and promotions budget represents 70% of the expenditure, and again, we think that's very favorable. We've seen DMO traditionally in the 30 to 40% range. Okay, that's sort of the range we've seen some of these numbers in. And so again, I think your LA or the Central Valley, you use these differently. Okay. And so you got to have a little bit more money in a few things. SEO, we think you need more money in. And so, again, you see in terms of how we would maybe step back strategically and rethink some budget allocations, you know, to give you more horsepower in a few other categories other than, traditional or advertising media. In conjunction with your other partners, you just finished Saver the other day or last week. Time to review that. Is it still working for everybody? And I'm not suggesting it isn't. I just saw that it's a notable chunk of the budget, and you need to sit down and review it. Is it working? And is it meeting everybody's objectives? How do we make it better? How do we leverage it? Hey, you know what? Maybe we need to look at something else. And again, I am not being critical. I have not looked at Saver. I don't know if it's good, bad, or indifferent, but it's just a meaty part of the budget. And everybody, not just you, your partners need to sit down and say, does this still work? Take the politics out of it and just look at the marketing and all of that, those elements together. It may be great, and I just don't know it, but it's just an annual review or periodic review, I think, is healthy to look at that. Community event funding, I know you guys do a bunch of community events. What bothers me, what concerns me about community events is there you have to build a strategy, a year-long event strategy to events. Not just, here's this event, here's that event, here's the Harbor Fest, and I'm not picking on the events, but behind it is a broader strategy that says, here's our, Morro Bay, come visit our coast or whatever it is, or whatever it is, but there's got to be a broader strategy attached to these events. And the event proponents, you got to sit down once in a while and say, it would be really good if that event was in this time of the year instead of that time of the year, because you're stepping on each other and you're weakening the effectiveness of some events. Some events can be combined with other events to make them bigger events. My message is to look at it strategically and try and sit down and have an event strategy for the destination and then fund the promotion of those. I'm not a big believer in giving operating expenses to events. I'm a big believer in marketing and promoting events from the DMO standpoint. And I think in a small community like that, you can get more leverage out of just this event, that event, that event, that event, that event. One of the best destinations I've seen do events, and I've told this to several of you, is Reno. Reno does a great job. They start in May with June with a rodeo. Then they have Hot August Nights, which is a big car event that's gotten humongous. And then when that's done, they've got rib cook-off, which is monstrous. Then they've got the Reno Air Races, which is huge. Then they've got Street Vibrations. Then they have the Italian Fest. They have a strategic approach to their events. One starts, it ends. A couple days later, another one starts, it ends. A couple days later, it starts, it ends. You know what I'm saying? They have a strategic approach to events. In a small community, I say lock everyone in this room and don't let them out till you have an event strategy. Bar the doors. Don't tell the fire department, but bar the doors. Put out some pizza and beer, and nobody leaves till we get this figured out. I think there's some opportunity on that side of that, in leveraging the budget, okay, and leveraging your content strategies to say, hey, here's the summer festival events or the fall festival events, boom, 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 Morro Bay, we're rocking it, whatever. And so I think there's some opportunities there. Yeah, there's that rock again. In terms of research and measurement, I'm a big believer, share the data. Make sure everybody's got it. Google reports every month. Everybody sees what's going on. Everybody's on the same page. At some point, develop a Morro Bay specific profile study. I'm sure Bill over at San Luis Obispo or Cal Poly can help you figure that out. But who's coming here? And the reason why I say that is because each of you have a very different view of who's coming here. And it's all anecdotal. Well, the people that stay in my property are this. Well, the people I saw are this. Well, the people that I saw are this. And you bring those anecdotal perspectives and you sort of dig in on them. The key is to have an independent sort of, hey, here's the overall Morro Bay visitor, and here they are by season. Okay, and that's the overall, and it's hard to argue with the data, assuming it's collected correctly. That will generate... and without that information, it's hard to know how effective you really are. And so I think that's key, because that really measures the effectiveness of the Bureau specifically. Star reports that a lot of the lodging guys get, that measures sort of the broad barometer of what things are. But you really got to look at ways. And at the program level, the Bureau measures, this promotion or that promotion, how many hits did we get or how many this did we get? But you really have to understand what that conversion rate is in order to really begin to set goals and objectives to drive your marketing efforts. Organizational, more and more web-centric. More and more DMOs need to be web-centric. In the old days, the web was sort of this thing you hung on the back end of everything else you did. Now, everything should emanate from the web. Here, a web-centric strategy, and you're already doing a lot of these things. You know, it's just thinking about it in a little bit different way. You know, you want to, you know, SEO and website content, online branding and display ads, videos, photos, social media, email marketing, paid search, mobile marketing. Think of these as a holistic approach now, not just separate. I'm all right. Just we'll mop it up. Not just separate elements, but think of it in a holistic way. And how does one leverage against the other? Okay, and I think that's a huge opportunity for you. Here's sort of the basic business model I like that we've sort of developed for DMOs over time, and I've sort of referred to it through my comments. But here you guys in Morro Bay, here's your advertising promotions and so forth through your target segments, and you're driving people to that website. What you want to do is figure out, again, what that influence rate is. Are we, in fact, influencing people to visit? And if we are influencing people together to visit, what's that rate? Because, again, once we know what that rate is, and once we know how many people are coming through, which you already know through your Google Analytics, okay, now the question is, okay, how do we double that number? And if we double that number, what will we be driving through our conversion, and what does that mean in dollars? A very different language, very different playing field for you to be on, and you can do it fairly easily. Summary recommendations. You guys got to work together. You're a small community, and one of the strategic advantages of small communities is you can work better together than a big community. Sorry about that, folks. Get an excitable boy. I start talking. It's the Italian in me, you know. But you know, I see destinations all over the place. Some work really well together, others don't. The ones that work really well together, that take a minute, you know, to understand a variety of perspectives, try and be inclusive in those perspectives, are ones that I think do better overall. Because they keep building on that cooperation. Other communities, I see they get into a non-virtuous cycle, and it's hard to get out, you know, of a non-virtuous cycle. And so I think it's absolutely key to work together in terms of what you're doing. Measure what you do. This is one of the biggest challenges that DMOs have, is nobody's clear on the measurements. Okay, so nobody knows if you're truly achieving what you want to achieve, which further fuels, you know, is it really happening? Is this happening? Is that happening? But if everyone's clear on measurements and you actually measure what you do, and measurements again are not punitive, measurements are constructive. Measurements, remember, continuous improvement. If you don't measure what you're doing, you can't continually improve. And so from that standpoint, continuous improvement is absolutely critical. And the best way to get that is, okay, here's the measurements we have. We're going to publish them every month. Here's what we need. We're going to get to those in the next year or so. Everybody cool? Everybody agree? Okay. Then we'll move forward. And then finally, I always encourage destinations like yours to have a long-run view. Make strategic decisions, not tactical decisions. Most DMOs are set up to make strategic decisions more effectively than tactical decisions. The private sector can move their pricing tactically, and they do it all the time. You know, if things aren't moving this week, they go online to Expedia. They monkey around with pricing. They can pump stuff up on their own with their own Facebook stuff. They can move tactically. You guys need to move strategically. Where do you want this destination to be in 5 years? That's a long time. Where do you want this destination to be in 3 years? You know, figure that out, okay? Sit in a room and... Well, I'm not sure going back to an old website. I'm sort of a fresh look, but there's an old approach that you... you know, you cut out a lot of content, and that content has SEO implications, so you just got to deal with that. I think what you do is you say, moving forward, how do we maximize SEO? How do we maximize, you know, getting more and more people to that site? And so it's not just the site itself. The site itself, I'd urge you to look at, is it effective in influencing people to visit? Okay? Is that site as effective as it could be? What can we as a community do to make that site more effective to somebody who comes in and says, and mostly new visitors, okay? That's another thing you need to be aware of. Repeat visitors don't go to DMO sites. They already know your property. They call you direct. They know who you are. They know where the cool place to stay is and where to go for lunch. It's new visitors that are coming in and saying, well, what's this Morro Bay place like? That's the guy or the woman you got to get dialed in. That's the opportunity to say, how do we make our site more effective in influencing visitors to be here? So, yeah.
Real quick, we can't hear.
Oh, okay.
So when you have a question, actually we're going to do a presentation first and then go to public.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, Carly. No. I don't mind doing the public questions now. We can just reverse it real quick. But what I'm going to need you guys to do is if you want to ask a question, you can come up to the microphone.
Come on up.
State your name, the question, and then otherwise the public can't hear out in the real world.
Be careful, I spill.
Okay. Ken McMillan, business owner, Morro Bay. Two things. Number one, when you talked about vendors, managing vendors, the thing that I'm concerned about is that the vendors define the objectives as opposed to we define the objectives for the vendors. I've seen vendors come in and tell you how they're doing based on their criteria.
Yeah.
They're going to say, you know, oh, we got 25 hits on this, and it's important, and you did say that, but it's important that we define what those objectives are with their input.
Absolutely.
No problem. But the other thing that I think wasn't mentioned, and let me ask you this, we have a lot of people driving by here. Morro Bay is right in the middle of LA and San Francisco. Monday night, which is this past Monday night, which is normally a very slow night, we were filled. Half of the tables in there were Europeans. And they stopped because we were convenient, maybe. But if we were able to add some other things, other reasons for them to make us a stopping point, I mean, in this time of the year, it's great to have those people here. And those of you who have been to Vegas, there's a place called Baker. Sorry, Baker doesn't have many attractions, but boy, their businesses thrive because people stop on their way to Vegas. We've got all that traffic between L.A. and San Francisco, Europeans, L.A. people, San Francisco people. And we are a really convenient spot. Now, that's a different kind of marketing, I think, that maybe we have to look at.
Yeah, no, and to your questions, yes, I think the board and the organization has to set up its goals and objectives. I think it's great to have the input of your vendors and get in that dialogue. I think you want to get their knowledge and effort and so forth, so I would completely agree with that. In terms of drive-by, you're right. You know, this is a very, very busy highway, and guess what? There's 30 other places that are trying to do the same thing. I had the same conversation in Gilroy on 101. If you go up one, there's all kinds of places like that. You have to strategize. If the internet and the international visitor, you're right. I heard nothing but, you know, German or something around here yesterday afternoon walking around. They know the California Loop. It's a pretty traditional vacation. But you got to get your nose in there. You got to work with state tourism office to make sure that they're making people aware that you're here. What you're talking about is a segment, and that should be in your marketing plan as a segment you want to go after. Is that drive-by international visitor that, you know, they're looking for a place to go, and if they haven't heard of Morro Bay, well, they have heard of San Luis Obispo, I guarantee you. And so you got to be smart about how you do that. But I think it's a great observation on your part. And certainly I think that's a viable segment, particularly in the fall. Particularly in the fall when all these Europeans tend to visit. And you know what? The same conversation happens on the other side of the state. You know, I have clients in Mono County. You know, Mono County is a pretty desolate little county. But, you know, they're asking the same question. How do we get people to stop at Bridgeport? How do we get people to stop in Walker, if you've ever heard of Walker? There's just, you know, how do we get this international group? So I think it's a great question. It might be one of your target segments for doing. South Shore, where I live, has done made some very big strategy shifts. And what they've done is they've moved more to this passion-based marketing that I've talked about, is what are the passions we have in South Shore? Well, we love to mountain bike. We love to road bike. A lot of motorcycle touring. You know, golf, snowboarding, skiing. You know, so how we start with that, and then how do we reach out to find other segments just like that that want to come? And they build their special events around that. They build their media approaches around that. And so I think that's another good model to look at. Reno is very good for special events. And studying their strategy in terms of how special events as a broad destination strategy work. And again, it's on a bigger scale, but I think you can learn from the practice, you know, benchmark it in that regard. I think I love how San Luis does their downtown event. You guys are all part of that on Thursday night. It's too bad I got to drive home tonight, or I would go to that. I would. And I have my ice chest with me, so I'm like, yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of good, there are, John, and I would start with looking at some. And you know what? I'd go to those places and talk to those people or get them on the phone and, you know, how do you do it? You know, everyone loves to brag about their destination. They'll tell you. But that's some places to start. What I like about Santa Barbara is they're very focused. You know, they use this business model approach that I put up there. Every day their staff wakes up and says, is that going to drive our model or not? If it's not going to drive our model, we're not interested. They want to know what's driving that website, and they are doing everything to drive that website, and they have very specific lodging revenue goals that they got to translate to over the next 3 or 4 years. So those are some, and if you want to email me, I'm happy to sort of provide you some more as I think about them. I got a long ride home. I can think a lot. Yeah.
Hi, Jane Beeman again. You brought up Reno, and the reason why that piqued my interest is because of the events. They do a year long, and this has been planned. One of the things that I find to be challenging in the city of Morro Bay is events come to us within months to the marketing, and then we jump on it. And every year we don't know if they're going to reoccur or be at a different place. So my question is, since you brought up Reno, does Reno have a separate event coordinator that goes out and manages these events, or is it under the director of tourism, or, you know, is it the cart before the horse or the horse before the cart?
I think in Reno's case, they have a special event staffer. But again, a lot of it is these events coming to them. And Reno's a little bit different case because they have these big events that have been around for a long, long time. But that's not to say you can't help manage the event process. You know, at a certain time, let's say it's November 1st, you have a meeting. All event proponents, we want to have a town hall meeting down here at the Veterans Center. And let's get them all on the wall. When are you having it? What is your day? Let's put the white paper up and begin to plan and understand what the heck everybody's doing. And then from the Tourism Bureau standpoint, you step back and say, okay, what do we do? How do we, okay, we're going to promote this then, we're going to do that there, and whatnot. Just create the process to understand it so you can maximize it. You know, but if you just don't have all the data in one place, it's hard to, like, well, the Oyster Festival, and I'm not picking on any of these events, but it's this festival and that festival, and are they going to have it, and they move the date, and yada, yada, yada. I think you call a summit once a year, an event summit, you know, and you invite them all, and you put the white sheet up, January, February, March, have everyone write their event, tell you in 5 minutes what they're going to do, step back from a tourism standpoint and say, all right, how do we leverage this? How do we maximize this? How do we make it work for us? You know, and I think that's sort of the approach that you know, I would start with. Not that it's going to get you. Another thing I wanted to mention, John, Inyo County, okay, which is a very desolate county, 98.5% federally owned land. came to our company a couple years ago and said, we got $30,000 for marketing, okay? What do we do? And we took them because we wanted to see what we could do with nothing, okay? Just to see if we were smart enough to figure out something to do with nothing. And we said, yeah, okay, we'll take the project. And what we did was we tapped into, they have a treasure trove of historical photos. Somebody took pictures in that county. And they have a little library and a little museum. And so we took all their pictures from, you know, in the 30s and 40s, but of activities people are doing today, like rock climbing. We got the guy from the 30s and 40s in the rock climbing outfit. The motorcycle guy and the ancient Indian, you know. And we turned that into a whole ad campaign that they still use, you know, with no money. I mean, literally no money. And they post it up and, you know, and so you can do things. So I like your idea of benchmarking, search ideas and places. There's some nifty little ideas that people are doing out there. And they're not just Santa Barbara with a big budget. They're like the Inyo counties of the world with little budgets. So there's a lot of good ideas out there. Yeah.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Eccles. I'm a business owner and resident here in Morro Bay. So my question for you is about the data mining. It's amazed me in the time that I've been here the lack of information that we've drawn from visitors that visit us. Now, you suggested that we take a look at ourselves and come up with, in what business we call our value proposition, what makes us unique, and then market that to the world. Alternatively, another way is to look at the people who actually come here and ask them why they come here. Because you may get two different answers. I mean, you may ask a lot of people in Morro Bay what we do here and, you know, we drink and we complain. Those are two things that would be toward the top
of
the list.
There's a whole country full of those.
And then we paddleboard and do some other fun things. Yes. But those responses may very well be different from the visitors that are here. And I'll just give you a quick anecdotal story. Before I opened a business on the Embarcadero, I hired two college kids, and paid them $8 an hour with clipboards to walk up and down the Embarcadero, ask people where they were from, why they came here, and what they did.
Yeah.
I don't know that we have, I'm sure at one time or another we've done that here. And so I opened my business based on that data. People thought I was nuts for the business that I did open. Very few people thought it would succeed, but based on that data, it's done very well.
Yeah.
So. I guess my question is, shouldn't we be going to the visitors that come here already, asking them why they come here, and then exploiting and leveraging that data?
Yeah,
Thank you.
That's a terrific question. In the research recommendations I have in there, do a visitor profile study. And that study would do exactly what you're suggesting. I think you bring up a good point that I should have made a little more clear, is you want to collect information from a number of different perspectives. You know, what are those visitors doing when they come here? Why they came here? Okay, did they just pull off because you guys, it was late and they need a place to stay? Or they came here because of the seals or whatever it is? And then looking at opportunistically, what are we doing here? That what are our local passions, and can we begin to reach out and build on that? So I think both approaches are appropriate, and I appreciate you bringing that up. But certainly a periodic visitor profile study is one of my recommendations, and you need to do that and integrate it into, you know, your thinking and planning and move as you move forward. So great suggestion. Yeah.
Hello. My name is Rick Moore, and the former gentleman said a lot of the things I was ready to say. So I'm just going to give another suggestion, because I drove on this highway, for about 20 years and never knew there was a little Morro Bay down here. And I think you need more than a rock to have people come down. I was just thinking, a lot of the people I talk to, they like to go down to that dockside because they sit right on the ocean, which, you know, I don't care that much about. I don't even care much about the rock. But they find it unique and cozy here. So if you could get a picture that showed the dock side. People have dogs there. They get to sit and have their beer and their shrimps, and then you have the, you get a little of the beach and the kayaks. I mean, you need more than just that rock going by. I mean, I think that, yeah, that, and I agree with the other guy, because I talk to people all the time, and they love the weather, and they have all different reasons for coming here, and they're mostly from Fresno and Bakersfield, and they like the cuteness, you know, the ocean and the main street and the little coffee shops. So there are different things for different people.
Oh, very good. I love the idea of beer and shrimp, and that sounds good with me. That'll get me to pull over for sure. A couple of thoughts. I mean, again, that may in fact be a very good segment. You want to figure out how to get drive-by stuff. What I find, or what I have found in my research, is most people, about 80%, travel with predetermined, I'm sleeping here. There is a smaller segment that will travel, you know, to without a reservation. They're a little bit riskier. But 80%, probably 70 to 80% travel. And a lot of times they're just sitting on the side of the road, you know, going on to Expedia and booking a thing while they're sitting down the road. But they arrive with a you know, with a planned place to stay. I think whatever you do, okay, whatever segment you talk to, whether it's the drive-by segment, don't be boring, okay? Be interesting. The worst curse of any destination is to be uninteresting. Tell the story. Tell the passion. Tell, somehow get it in 6 words on a billboard or an ad or a online ad or whatever it is. But be interesting. And I'm not sure everyone knows why this is an interesting place. I'm not sure they know about that pier and that sunset. I'm not sure they know about the fishing heritage here. I'm not sure they know those things. And so make, the worst sin is to be uninteresting, right? Somebody once said, be interesting, okay? Johnny.
Johnny Biagini again. A question, in a perfect world, the role of a DMO in terms of the development of the community. I mean, you talked about Temecula, and they have this beautiful downtown. You know, Paso Robles has a beautiful downtown. Lots of places, San Luis has done a lot to improve its downtown, which has become an attraction for tourism. In a perfect world, I mean, we have a lot to do, obviously, in Morro Bay with our marketing plan, yeah, as you propose. But in a perfect world, how much influence or how much involvement should the DMO have in the development, the physical development of the community?
It's a good question. It depends. I have seen destinations in North Lake Tahoe where they actually take some of the TOT money and split it off into you know, sidewalk, streetscapes, and gutters. And so I've seen it, you know, that way. In other communities, they don't touch it. You know, they just like, you know what, that's developers, that city. We'll be supportive where it touches the tourism, and we'll have a comment to say. In a perfect world, if you had a big, fat, humongous budget, you could do a lot of things. So I think you have to pick and choose. And part of the task of Solomon is, do you market... do you market and have people come here and say, God, we shouldn't have marketed because we're not perfect yet, or not? And that's a task of Solomon. My general feeling is the more you can create demand, the more demand creates investment, is my take. So the more you can create demand for the destination, and no one individual in here can create demand on a sizable level that moves the needle. You really got to work in a cooperative basis. And so even in my town of Lake Tahoe, which I am happy to pick on because we've made so many mistakes, we've done a few things right, we have struggled with this for years. You know, we go out there with a big multi-million dollar budget, and we have parts of our community that are not dialed in. Okay, But we have to stimulate something in order for these local guys to make some investments. It's key that the local town, which is really sort of the catalyst, the community government has to be the catalyst for redevelopment, and I know that's hard now because we don't have redevelopment agencies, but to make it easy for developers, or not easy, but to have a defined process so that you go from idea to turning soil without, you know, a lawsuit coming out of left field or right field, and that there's a process that is definable that a developer could say, I'm going to invest here, because they can invest anywhere. And I think the DMO can be supportive of that process. But again, I've seen it in some communities. They literally take a portion of TOT tax and spend it on streetscapes, you know, and the tourism guys bemoan that, and the county government says we're doing it, and it makes for an interesting little battle. I mean, yeah, you always want to continuous improvement, and that counts for the infrastructure also. So I'm not sure if I answered it well, but.
Hello, I'm Nick Mendoza, business owner in town, longtime resident, also a member of the Tourism Bureau Board. My question is about target segment. You know, Morro Bay has a long history of having visitors from the Central Valley, Bakersfield, Fresno, but we have made an effort to target, Southern California, LA, Orange County, and the Bay Area. How do you balance that? Because I think sometimes we just take for granted we're always going to get those visitors from the Valley, and sometimes we've kind of maybe let the marketing slip in that area and focus on some of these areas. How do you find a balance there?
That is another Task of Solomon question you're asking me. And that's why I said it's different tools in different places. Most of the people in the Central Valley are probably more prone to come because of the heat. That's, as long as it's hot in Bakersfield or Fresno, that's a good thing. But you also have to give them a reason. You can't just say they'll come, because they can go to the Sierras. You're not the only cooler game in town. You know, there's other places to go. You know, so you have to, and they don't have to come here. They can go to Cambria. They can go to Pismo, Ventura, Santa Barbara, Monterey. I mean, there's a lot of places they can go. So you have to keep your name out there, and maybe, you know, that is a little bit of a different mix where you put some hard dollars in. Some of it's done with public relations and content and so forth. So it's different tools in different markets. In this day and age, I find it hard to ignore any market because everyone is so competitive now. You know, there was a day when Lake Tahoe, we didn't advertise in Northern California. Slam dunk. They're 80 miles away. They're coming. Well, you know what? They got choices. And we've had to sort of recalibrate. Now, do we pour our total budget there? No. We drive our event strategy there. Okay, and what we do is we drive the event strategy because that group, that segment, which is proximity close, they come, oh, here's another reason we got this festival. Here's another reason we got that festival. That might be the right tool where somebody in Santa Barbara, they may or may not come for the Oyster Fest or whatever you got going in the summer. There you need to use hard ad dollars and hard, you know, a little bit harder PR approach. So I would, you know, and I don't have the ready answer, but I would begin to look at the question that way. And I think that's the importance of getting a strategy on the events dialed in. And again, they have a frequency. Okay, they're coming two or three times a year, and what you're trying to do is drive an incremental frequency trip. You have to provide a specific reason for somebody to come that incremental one more time. You can't just say, here we are, we're great, and they're going to show up again. You got to give them, hey, we are having this festival. Hey, we got a new, you know, special event. We got, that's that extra reason. Don't forget, you know, about this event. And I would look to see how I could use my event strategy in sort of creating incremental trips. Packaging it up, you know, however you want to do it. Okay, any other? Yep, come on up.
Great questions, everybody.
Hi, I'm Joan Solu, and I just have, I'm a business owner.
Okay.
Married to the other solar.
Connection.
Okay. Since I haven't met you.
+2
Okay. We have, as hoteliers, John and I have been here about 16 years. We have, as hoteliers, owned a couple of different properties in town. And know that the hotels are capturing, every time a guest comes in, we capture information. We have to have their addresses and whatnot for reservations. And we have a captive audience. We've captured their email addresses to send them their reservation information. And we have their zip codes. So we know in Morro Bay that roughly 20 to 25% of our hotels are above the mid-grade scale. There are higher-end hotels. Then we have about 20 to 25% that are real economy-based hotels here. And that 50% in the middle is kind of our mid-grade limited service.
Okay.
Okay, and so with that, all of those different segments help to drive the ADR and help to drive where TOT and where our occupancy levels are. In terms of that, when you talk about the guest segment that comes in, the 10%ers, 10% come in to bicycle, 10% come in to play golf, 10% come into kayak, 10% come into surf, 40% might come in for an event on a weekend. How do we bring all of that information together in order to drive the market? Because as a DMO, we should be looking at all of that information in order to create a strategic marketing plan and drive our market to compress down to all of our other businesses, our restaurants, our retailers, and into our events. What are the components that go into that, and what would your recommendation be in order to help us use that information to move forward?
Again, another good question. I appreciate it. When I talked about the components of that plan, you know, I think that's a great starting point to build on what you've got. I also talked about research. There is some research. You start with that county research I did last year and use that as a basis, as a starting point. Eventually, you want to get to your own visitor profile study to figure out who's coming here for what reason and how big those segments are. That all rolls up under one brand, you know, whatever that Morro Bay brand turns out to be, you know, and I think that's how that message gets communicated back out to these segments that you've decided. Unfortunately, in tourism, there's no silver bullet that says, you know, we're going to put all our money in L.A. and it's going to drive our world. It just doesn't work like that anymore, if it ever did. Vegas can do that. Morro Bay can't. You know, it's really sort of, you know, shot, very close range shot in terms of who we want to come here and how we're going to go after them. And I think that is incumbent upon the DMO and the industry working together to bring that together, you know, bring that information together. The other part is common information. You guys have a database, and that's terrific. It looks like you've analyzed it and thought about it, and you know who's staying in your property. I'm not sure if everyone does that, and that's a starting point. Most properties keep their information proprietary, so it's hard to get a community-wide look. That's why you need to do this visitor profile study once in a while and begin to look at what's going on. In that study we did for the county, the activities are there in terms of why people from all those markets, what they're doing here. That information is a great starting point. Bring that into your marketing committee meetings or your board meetings and start sort of chewing that up as a starting point. Ultimately, you want to get your own information and integrate it and make plan adjustments. No plan's perfect, okay? It's all about adjustments, just like football, adjusting. It's just like a batter that comes up four times a game. It's World Series time, so I'm going to use baseball. That batter and that pitcher are continually making adjustments. I threw him something in the first inning. I'm not going to throw him that in the third inning. I'm going to throw him this in the seventh inning. And the same thing with tourism. It's all about adjustment. This didn't work. That did. How do we tweak that more? And it's continual. Remember, continual improvement. You're never there. you're never done. You're always tweaking and adjusting and refining. And that's the smart DMO that does that. Don't stay stuck in the mud. Always adjust, always tweak, always revise. So.
I'm John Myers. I'm on the tourism board also. And you may have addressed this, but I fell asleep for a while. So.
Oh, sorry.
It seems like one of the a regular topic of conversation is this conversion ratio that you've talked about, website visits to actual visits. We talk about impressions. We talk about how many pages were viewed and how much time is spent on the website and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how you get from actually a website visit to actually measuring a real visit actually occurred or a booking actually occurred. Can you help us figure out how to do that measurement?
Yeah, and that's a good question. Not that all those measurements aren't critically important. You know, pages, time on site, all that stuff is good stuff. At the end of the day, what you want to do is find out how people convert. The way we've been doing it with our clients is we will put a short survey on the website and ask people to complete a very short 3-question survey. And at the end of that, we ask them to leave their email database, and could we contact them later on down the road. At a certain point in time, whether it's 3 months or 6 months, we'll send a survey out to people and ask them, did they in fact visit? And if they did visit, how important, and we have a scaling set up, how important was that visitor site in influencing you to visit? Some people will say, you know, it was very influential. Other people say, you know, it wasn't that influential. I'd already decided to visit. You know, and we can figure out what that true influence and conversion rate is. And so it's gettable. You got to do a little bit of digging and a little bit of research to get there. But you know, my clients know what their conversion rate is. And they sort of live by it. And so it is gettable. And then that becomes a key piece because then you can begin to look forward and say, okay, if we want to take our community occupancy rate from X to Y, we know how many rooms we got to sell. We know how many rooms we got to sell. We know how many people we got to drive through the pipe on that website because we can do the math and figure that out. Okay? And once we know how many rooms we need to drive and how many people we need to attract, then you're working with your ad agency and your PR folks to say, hey, here's the goal. Over the next 3 years, we want to drive this many more people to our site because we know if we can do that, we're going to generate Y amount of new incremental room nights. This modeling is done. We do it quite a bit now. It's not everybody's using it, but we've sort of pioneered this approach in the DMO world. Lodging people look at this all the time, but destinations haven't. And that's where the opportunity is, you know, you as a lodging owner, you know what your RevPAR is, you know what your yield is, you know all this stuff that you know about your world. The DMO world is a very different world. And the challenge has been with TBIDs, you got lodging people that are sometimes trying to apply lodging rationale to DMO world, and it's not quite transferable. There's subtleties and differences, but at the end result, the end goal is a convergence of objectives, more room nights sold and more room revenue generated. It's just how you see the world from different prisms in trying to get there, and that's part of the key in making it work. And the destinations that have gotten there, Santa Barbara is a great example. The lodging industry gets it. They and the Bureau work very hand-in-hand, and they understand it very well and know what they're doing. But you have the same objectives. It's just you see the world through slightly different spheres, but it's gettable. Okay? Another one?
Speaking of DMOs and Joan, speaking of websites and DMOs, there's an emergence of the 900-pound gorillas in the market for DMO marketing, and those are the TripAdvisors, Travelocities, Kayaks.com. Yep. They are emerging and pushing, really pushing for DMOs to have destination pages on their sites. Yep. Morro Bay Tourism pays for one on TripAdvisor right now, which is why the city as a whole has a presence there on TripAdvisor. how do you see those in the future emerging over, because they have, obviously, they come up number one for marketing dollars. We're not going to be able to arm wrestle them down. How do you see the competition in terms of having our DMO site, having a TripAdvisor or a Travelocity site, and we're competing with our own, we're essentially competing with ourselves?
Good question. Focusrite, they're a big, big consulting firm that specializes in all this, and a number of studies. Those sites are going to become bigger and more powerful. But most lodging properties do not like them because you're not getting the margins. And so they love the DMO sites because the DMO sites generate property direct bookings. Okay? So, again, the task of Solomon is, do we play? And if we play, how will we play? Some destinations play very big in that game, and the lodging properties, you know, are supportive. Other destinations are like, you know, it's too big to ignore, but how much do we put into it knowing that it's reduced margin business? And so you have to find out what's right for you guys. I think they're going to be bigger and more influential. Well, not that I think. Focusrite has laid this out. They're going to be bigger and more powerful. So I think you need some presence, but I certainly wouldn't pour all your money into that presence. I would certainly want you to – that would be a very sidebar thing, and I still would prefer people to come direct to your website and say, okay, I'm going. Now, I'm going to book. Well, I'm going to book because I'm a Best Western Gold card holder. I'm going to book because I'm a Days Inn. You know, that's the brand I like. Or I'm going to shop around. Or I'm going to do what you have. That issue's not going away. And you're going to confront that issue more and more as time goes by, because those gorillas, as you suggest, are gorillas. But I would say, yeah, you got to play a little bit. Because if you don't, you'll be shut out. And they're a viable channel of distribution. I hate to say it, but I would try and do it as creatively and as minimally, but I would probably take a good look at it. So, yep.
Thanks for being here, Carl. This has been very interesting. Noah Smuckler, a city council member, and I wanted to talk a little... Which one? No, just kidding. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, or ask you to talk a little more about structure. And we have, as a small town, an amazing number of different groups that are involved in some way with visitors, with our economic development program, and with different districts in the town, and also events. So, you know, you'd mentioned about working together being a key, and, you know, we're all here and part of the solution and need to be on the same team in a lot of ways. But as you've looked around the state and even the country, what have you seen for smaller towns like ours as far as structure that helps bring people into the room together and to try to package it all in a way that there's more of a destination approach to it all?
Yeah, great question. You guys have some really terrific questions. I really appreciate it, making me think. One of the roles a DMO can be is a catalyst. You know, and being a catalyst is pizza and beer. You know, it's getting everybody in the room and having a facilitator person come in and say, how do we do this better? You know, are we doing it the best we can, honestly? And if we're not, how can we do it better? Hey, events, you're running around over here. You got this. Hey, city, you're doing this over here, economic development, you're doing that. How do we bring everybody in the room with a facilitator, sort of keep everyone under control and say, how do we do it better? You know, the biggest part of the problem is to break the silos down. You know, everybody gets in these silos in all these communities, well, fortress, you know, and you can't win that way. You got to break those silos down and start with what you all agree on. Hey, in economic development, here's what we're doing. Well, you know, tourism supports that. And hey, special events, here's what we're doing. Well, yeah, we support that. Hey, and you begin to see how it all fits together. But you have to commit to the act of getting everyone in a room and saying, we're going to figure out our process better. You know, I'm a marketing process fanatic. Set the process up right, get the right people in the room, and you will do wonders. And so process to me has become very important. Change in process. The biggest challenges I see in every destination I work in is the ability to grapple with change. It's hard, really hard to do. And I'm here to tell you it's the only way forward is for everyone to step back and at the end result say, how do we just do it better? Okay? And get a facilitator. Don't try and do it yourself. I'm sure there's a big university full of those types over there. And that's the question. And it may take two or three or four series to get it all done. I'm working right now in the town of Mammoth. They have recognized, they're unusual. They have two measures that produce significant amount of money for recreation that are untouchable. They just went through a bankruptcy, but they have a huge amount of money that they can pour into recreation. We're right now in the process of setting up a NGO to deal with recreation, okay, to have an outside non-governmental agency. You still have municipal recreation, and they do their thing, but these two measures, which are about $1.5 million a year, that may be managed in an NGO whose efforts are designed to leverage dollars. And Mammoth, to their credit, said there's got to be a better way to do this. And so we got hired, and we're figuring out this better way to do it. And that's part of the problem. That's part of leadership, to say, time out, everybody, go to your corner. There's a better way to do it. And let's figure out the better way to do it. So hopefully that's helpful.
Thanks, Carl, for the big picture view. I do have to do two things before we transition. I think we might be transitioning. I'm not sure. No, I think you stay here for another moment. But I need to refund the Tourism Bureau by $100,000 because in my opening remarks I misspoke and said that this year it was about $116,000 and it's $216,000. So I'm going to give that back before anybody sees the tape. And then the second thing, it's a little shameless promotion. It's true that conversations I've had with many of you in this room have illustrated that we have a gap in our events planning and our events operation. So about a month ago, the council did agendize a staff report to come forward that's going to take a look at events citywide. And then that's also important for us because we'll have to incorporate police and fire and those kinds of things, which are, you know, critically important for events. Cost money for events, but they're not as exciting really as talking about the event. So look forward to that in about a month or two, and then we'll be able to hopefully begin that conversation to get to the event piece where we actually sit down all together in a room in the beginning of the year to plan the year out, which we don't do quite well right now. So thanks for that ability to clarify, and I'll turn it over maybe to Michelle or Karen or Carl. Who's next? Questions? Okay, thanks.
No, real quickly, I just want to again thank you. I hope I've tried to answer your questions as best I can. And if you need more detailed, gritty, Carl, you're crazy, send me an email and I'm happy to follow up with you and see if I can flesh it out or get more detail for you on whatever you're asking. I guess my closing comment is you have a lot of really good things here. You're small and make that work for you. And I think you can be a very, very competitive niche destination in the Central Coast, and I think there's a lot of opportunity. Just sort of be bold about it, and you guys will go in great places. So thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, Carl, we don't think you're crazy. We think you provided some really great feedback to us today. This is a great time to be getting this feedback. You know, as I was getting ready this morning, I was realizing it was about a year ago right now, Joan, when I first met you and I came to town, and I had never been to Morro Bay before. So I had a lot of those questions. Where is it? How do I get there? What are the amenities? And this is a really a good time in our growth because we are bringing together so many different elements of the community. As Carl mentioned, we first reached out to him in July, which was the time we took our marketing services in-house. But since that time, and many of you specialized vendors are out here, and let me give you a little shout-out, we've identified who those vendors are, and we've selected who we believe to be the most specialized, unique, and experienced vendors in the region. We've already discovered significant cost efficiencies and savings, and we've also experienced quicker turnaround and approval times. Some of our marketing tactics have included reviewing and developing more co-op opportunities with the VCB, the Central Coast Tourism Council, Visit California, Wine Coast Country, and we're always looking into new opportunities with our partners. Yes, we do utilize the brand, and that is the rock, and that is, as Carl mentioned, how great that we have this icon that can put us in perspective as to where we're located. So yes, we have been using the iconic image, but we've also been emphasizing Morro Bay's unique appeal and natural beauty. Just last weekend, our creative theme that we rolled out at Savor was "The Central Coast is your oyster, Morro Bay is your pearl," and we've had some really great feedback on that. We have also been increasing our public relations. We're looking to expand the PR budget and its activities. We've been working closely with our key event promoters. We recently partnered with the Chamber to do an event forum that was very helpful. And as Christine mentions, the subject of events is on everybody's lips, and it's something we really need to take a good look at. We're developing an annual event calendar, and just as Carl mentioned with Reno, I used to live and work in Reno myself and was involved with many of those events, and I know how successful they've become. We've been promoting Morro Bay at our recent events, and for all of our recent events, we've assisted with network television, print, specialty website exposure. I'd like to ask John Sorgenfrey to come up now and walk you through what we're doing with the website, and perhaps Rick Turton can give you some feedback as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you. As Karen mentioned, we were asked by her to assess the website back in early part of July, latter part of June. There was some anomalies that they were seeing, some decreases in the visitation, and they wanted my firm to take a look at that. And pretty much as Carl had outlined, I concur with his analysis, his recommendations. It's pretty much what we found, that content needed to be replaced. And I would agree, not going back to the old site, which was the benchmark for the comparison, but utilize the new content, putting in content, and working with SEO. So my firm has been involved in that. Also, as you saw, one of Carl's recommendations was to increase the website budget. The website budget at the time was recommended about $6,000 per year. Our recommendation was that was not enough funding to really emphasize the most important component of the marketing effort, which is the website. I also concur with actually almost everything Carl said. In fact, everything. But one of the things that I've always emphasized in dealing with my clients is the website is the central point. It is the focus of everything. That is where people go to get fulfilled. That is where all the marketing is driven, to the website. So it's crucial that the website be at its optimum. And so we're adding the SEO content back into the site. Rick is here. He can answer any questions as far as what some of that techniques have been. But we've seen some good results, and we're expanding it. The board did agree with our recommendation and recently increased the budget to pretty much the range of what Carl had suggested, about $28,000 for the website for the year. So a lot of the things that Carl had suggested, I want to make everybody aware that some of those things are currently being developed as we speak. And we're also looking at revising the launching page, complete agreement that developing some more blogging would be very valuable. There's Joan identified that there's blogging opportunities on the TripAdvisor page that she referred to earlier. So getting that blog writing, and a lot of this can be done in-house with Karen's people, but also wherever we can help. We're also heavily involved in the social media and website integration. So my firm's involved with again, working with her internal staff to increase the fans on Facebook, and then also complement the website to the social media aspects. and working on accurate reporting of stats on a monthly basis. As, again, as Carl said, conversion is very, very important, but you also have to know what pages they're looking at, what videos they particularly like, because that also gives us a good indication of what we need to continue to market and where we can get those people to come back and visit. And so we do have some conversion aspects to the site, the RevPAR. Rick can outline those to you if you'd like to hear those today. But it's basically going back and looking at the emphasis to the lodging page and going to the referrals from the website to the lodging industry, and that's what we're working on right now. Next slide. As far as the media plan, again, Carl saw the media budget as it existed back in June. And working with the board and the budget subcommittee and the full approval of the tourism board, we did add quite a few online efforts and replace some of that with the traditional media that had been suggested originally. So we've got Facebook advertising, YouTube advertising, some limited Google AdWords, and also I'm complete agreement. Video is the key. Video is the second most searched engine next to Google is YouTube. That's where people are going to find out about their next place to stay, what their hotel looks like, various other things that they do for travel. So one of the efforts we're going to be having is a lot more video encompassing what to see and do and things to explore in Morro Bay and discover. So we also are in agreement that the board, just in the last meeting, for the benefit of those who may not have seen the meeting, talked about added research and the importance of that. There is a budget for that. Certainly updates to the marketing plan in more detail is something that we would all agree with and think that needs to be done. I believe in goal setting as well. You know, you have short-term goals, you have long-term goals. I think that would be a really good discussion item as well. Obviously, the goal is to increase overnight stays in Morro Bay and increase TOT, but how do we get there could be a part of some of those short-term and long-term goals. And then tracking the visitors' needs and wants, market trends, all those things are very important, and then also redirect advertising, which we're involved in doing, and then setting measurements up for the tracking of the success. And, Jeff, I would just tell you that years back, we did do an analysis of people coming and why they came. It's very dated now. I'm sure that data probably wouldn't be real useful. But the reason I bring it up is that, and I think Carl referred to Cal Poly a couple times in his remarks, there is a really great opportunity to utilize Cal Poly because they definitely, you know, one of their majors is tourism. And we actually had a graduate student who came and as his thesis did a complete marketing study for us for evaluating personnel. Also, what was interesting is we did a citywide study of how people in the city, how the citizens feel about tourism, and that was actually really, really important and very interesting because they are the tourism guides and welcomers to our city, so it was very important from that standpoint. So that might be something that, you know, a future date we re-explore because it's a valuable resource. And if somebody can get their thesis written, that and we don't have to pay for it, it's a good way to get market research. Next slide. I think I'm done. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any. I just wanted to let you know that I think the real emphasis of this is that completely concur with Carl's analysis and. Some of those things we're already in the process of doing, and I also would just urge, and I've said this before, as some of you know, I've had a long tenure with Morro Bay. It's really important to everybody work as a team and work together, and those are the DMOs, and those are the cities that are successful, and I feel real confident that we'll be able to do that.
I think that concludes our brand audit for today. Carl will be making available his PowerPoint presentation. I'll be more than happy to share that with anyone who makes the request. So thank you very much for coming.